Open your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And you know, we're in the midst of an adventure here at our church during this season. Advent is the church's traditional celebration of the arrival, of the coming of God's Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in Luke chapter 2, we're introduced to a couple of obscure believers, a man and a woman, who witnessed the advent, witnessed the arrival of Jesus in a very literal way, and it caused them to worship, and it caused them to treasure Jesus. Now, before we get into the text today, I want to just sort of set the context, because we know that at this point, Jesus is just a few weeks old. Mary and Joseph are righteous, and they understand that according to the law of Moses, that they are to bring the baby, their firstborn son, to be presented to the Lord and to make an offering to redeem him as the firstborn. And so they're there in the temple this day to do this, and they encounter a very, very special man. We pick up reading in verse 25, where it says, "Now there was in Jerusalem a man called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." Now, we're introduced here to Simeon, and he's on the scene, the biblical scene here, for just a brief period of time. He comes and he goes rather quickly. We never see him again, never hear from him again. All we know about him is in these few verses here in Luke chapter 2. The fact is that it is not told to us that he was a priest, so therefore he may have possibly been just a regular Jewish man in the temple like any righteous Jewish man would be. On top of that, we get the impression that he is an elderly man, possibly even very near death. And if that is the case, let's keep that in mind, because we need to be reminded from time to time that there is a wisdom that comes with years, or at least it should. You know, when I was a young man, there were some things that I thought were really important. And as I reach this point in my life, I'm understanding that there are some things that really are important. And they're not what I always thought they were. And Simeon, though, reaches that point in his life, he's come to realize and see that at the end of his life, that there's really only one thing that matters, and it is his relationship with God. And he finds that on this day in a very special way as he gets to see the Messiah. So Simeon lived what we would call a God-centered life. And listen, when you lead a God-centered life, it will always lead you to Jesus, as it does for Simeon here. We're going to see that his God-centered life led him to Jesus. And when you're led to Jesus, you will see the sweetness of Jesus and savor him and treasure him. Unfortunately, though, our lives are not always God-centered. Sometimes our lives are stuff-centered, centered on our possessions. Just think about that this time of the year, how crazy we are about stuff. Sometimes our lives are sports-centered or centered in our recreation or our hobbies and our entertainment. Just think about how much of that happens this time of the year. Sometimes our lives are self-centered. I don't know what it is about this season, but it just sometimes seems to bring out, when it should be bringing out the best in us, it's bringing out the worst in us and our selfishness. And when we're not God-centered, we see that there's this hole in our lives and that there's something that nothing in this world can satisfy. And when we miss it, we miss the sweetness of Jesus. We miss the sweetness of Jesus. We realize that our lives are really empty. I want to talk to you this morning about the God-centered life. First of all, the walk of a God-centered person as we see it here in the life of Simeon. If you look at verse 25 once again, you notice there that there are some things, some words and phrases that describe Simeon's walk, his everyday life. When it says in verse 25 that Simeon was a righteous man, do you see that? That probably has to do with his relationships with other people. He was right in his relationships, in his dealings with other people. He was an upright man when it came to how he dealt with other people. On the other hand, when it says in verse 25 that he was devout, do you see that word? It signals to us that he was devoted. There was a fear and reverence for God that permeated his whole life. So he was devoted to God. When we think about devotion, we think about our time alone with God, don't we? In prayer and in the Word of God. And certainly that was a part of Simeon's life, as we're going to see in just a moment. So his rightness with others flowed out of his rightness with God. And as always the case, people like this who are righteous and devout are always the most receptive to the next thing that God's going to do. And that's why it tells us here in verse 25 that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, to understand why that was important, why would Israel need consoling? Why would Israel need this comfort? Well, we need to know that in the day in which Jesus was born, that the Jews were living in their own land as a prison. They were prisoners in their own country. The Romans had occupied and dominated Palestine. And so this was a yoke of bondage to them that they despised. But then also, the national spiritual life of Israel had deteriorated to the point where it was just a stale religion for the most part. But there was a remnant of Jews who understood that God was not through with his people, Israel. They understood that these were dark times, but that God had promised to send the Messiah to comfort them. Remember Isaiah saying, comfort ye my people. He understood, he saw the day when the Messiah would come to bring that consolation to the broken hearts of the Jews. There would be a time of revival and spiritual awakening that would come when the Messiah came. And this was promised in his word, and Simeon knew it. So Simeon has this expectant faith that caused his heart to long for God, to long for something that only God can do. And listen, in the darkest times of our life, often that's what God does. Is he puts in us a longing and he puts in us desires that we know can never be satisfied by anything in this world. And it may be that God is taking you through a dark time today because he wants you to see him like you've never seen him before. And so God has to do that. He has to take us through times. And sometimes he gently frustrates us with our lives. Many of you know about that. There's just this frustration in your life that things are not going. God does that in order to put in you a longing and a desire for something that this world can never supply. No person, no possession, no experience, no pleasure could ever satisfy it, only God. So when fears crept in and worries engulfed Simeon, he remembered the promises of God, that God had promised to comfort his people, and that's his expectant faith. But there's something else about Simeon's walk with God that we see here in verse 25. Notice that it says that the Holy Spirit was upon him. Just as a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit was upon him. And so this describes the fullness of his life spiritually. This would be similar to what we see in other parts. People like John the Baptist who had the Holy Spirit upon them. Even the Lord Jesus Christ who went about his life. Even as he went into the wilderness to be tempted, he had the Holy Spirit upon him. This will be what we later would understand as the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And it was a part of his life. And you notice in verses 26 and 27 how receptive he is to the Holy Spirit. Notice it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple. Or in the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. Just notice how spiritually sensitive Simeon is at this moment. He obviously had that experience of the Holy Spirit applying the Word of God to his life. Now, how did he know that the Lord had a Christ in the beginning? That the Lord intended to send a Messiah, the Christ? He knew it because it had been told and taught and preached by the prophets in the Old Testament. So the Holy Spirit had taken the Word of God and illuminated it in Simeon's life. And that's a big part for us. We need the revelation of sacred scriptures. The Holy Spirit speaks to us by that. But also, in this case, the Holy Spirit had spoken personally to Simeon and told him that not only according to the sacred scriptures that the Messiah would come, but Simeon, it will happen before you die. He had this special word from God that is very rare in the scriptures. And we have to be very careful about saying, God told me this. But in this instance, we know by the authority of Scripture that it was the Holy Spirit who told him to do that. So Simeon was filled with the Spirit and led by the Spirit, so much so that he is told, all right, you go into the temple right now. And because of that, he experienced this wonderful timing of being connected with what God was doing in Mary and Joseph and Jesus coming into the temple. All of this orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. One week I was preparing to preach, and all through that week I spend my mornings every day in the study preparing to preach and teach and other responsibilities I have in the Word of God. But this particular week I just had an unsettledness about the message that I was planning and preparing to preach. And I struggled with it all week long. Is this the word that you have for your people this Sunday? One day, in fact, on the day that I really needed to make the decision, one of our administrative assistants came up to me and said, Pastor, this morning I was praying and reading the Word, and God spoke to me, and He gave me a word for you. I don't know why, I don't know what this means, I'm just going to tell you what the Holy Spirit told me to tell you. Stay the course. Preach what God has put on your heart to preach. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I almost fell over. That she was that insightful. How did she know that on that day I had to make the decision of what to preach? As it turned out, she didn't have any idea what I was going through, but God knew. And you see, that's what happens when we are walking with God. The Holy Spirit is upon us and leading us and filling us, that we're going to be just the right place at the right time and have the right word for the right situation. This is what happens for Simeon. You walk with God like Simeon walked with God, and the Holy Spirit will fill you and lead you. Now, it goes on to say in verse 27 that when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, that is to present their firstborn before the Lord, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. So there is the walk of the God-centered person, but here we see the worship of a God-centered person. Simeon's life just lights up like a Christmas tree when he gets to embrace Jesus. I mean, his soul is on fire. Can I just ask you, friends, what is it that lights up your life? I mean, what is it that floods your soul with such joy and such delight? Is it getting a pay raise? Getting a new car or some new clothes? Getting to go on an expensive vacation, getting to eat at a luxurious restaurant, or being invited to a party that's important to you. You see, the problem is that we all know that none of those things really satisfy, do they? We all know that those are only temporary delights. and the only thing that ultimately satisfies. That which should cause the people of God to light up in worship is the realization of who Christ is. Now, verse 28 says that Simeon took Jesus in his arms and praised God. You know, hanging over in the hallway of our music ministry area is a painting done by Ron DeCiani. It is called Simeon's Moment. This is one of my favorite paintings ever. I love what it says to us. This captures the moment when Simeon took baby Jesus in his arms and embraced him. When you see there Simeon, this aged man with a customary Jewish robe, what you don't see is revealed in a larger version of the picture is that his arm and his wrinkled hand is gently caressing baby Jesus, who is wrapped in just a little simple blanket. You can just see the dark hair of the baby Jesus buried in the chest of this old man. But the thing I want you to notice, look at his face. Look at his face. Isn't that something? That is the face of delight. It's turned upwards toward heaven. And you can see that his eyes are closed and tears are just starting to come down his cheeks into his gray beard. You see that? But I love his mouth. Look at his mouth. I mean, it is wide open in delight before God, like he is crying out in praise to God. And then in the background, you can just barely make out a map of the world, indicating that Simeon understood the mission that this anointed one, the Lord's Christ, would have in saving the world from their sin. And this is Simeon's moment. Does the presence and the nearness of God cause your soul to light up like nothing this world could ever supply? Not having a good job, not being in good health, not having a health, there's nothing. Nothing that compares to the joy in the soul of a believer like the nearness of God. And Simeon held Jesus in his arms. And so it says that he praised God, or he blessed God. And so this is Simeon's song, beginning in verse 29. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. He's singing to the Lord. Now when he says, as you have promised, your translation may say, according to your word. That's an indication to us of what we see back in verse 26, where Simeon says, Lord, you can dismiss your servant. You promised me that I would not die before seeing the Lord's Christ. And so because Simeon's life was so God-centered, his whole life was riveted to the Word of God. And friends, I just need to say that to you again, that God's revelation of himself in the Holy Scriptures is so much a part of having a God-centered life. And the fact is that your worship will be deeper when your knowledge of God's Word is deeper. Simeon's life was saturated in the promises of God. According to your word, Sovereign Lord, dismiss your servant in peace. He goes on in his singing, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And so Simeon sees the vast dimensions of the redemption of Christ that he would bring. He sees it. He sees the wideness of God's love for Jews and Gentiles. And verse 33 says that the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Imagine how Mary and Joseph must have felt when this old stranger walks up to them and he says, oh my, oh my, I knew it would happen. The Lord told me that it would happen in my lifetime, that I would see the Lord's Christ. Oh, Mary and Joseph, you are holding in your arms a very, very special baby. May I hold him? And so in this you see that Simeon's life lights up with joyous worship as he embraces Christ. And so he can say, and again in verse 29, Sovereign Lord, you now dismiss your servant in peace. Now just think about that statement. You see, as the servant of the Lord, Simeon had waited patiently and faithfully, like standing at attention, waiting for God to give the order. And now it's happened. The Messiah has come, and Simeon says, Sovereign Lord, I'm your servant. You can just dismiss me, and I will go in peace. I have all I need. I've seen the Lord's Christ. Dismiss me in peace. My bucket list is complete. Can I just ask you, what is on your bucket list? Maybe it is that there's some place you want to go in your life, something you want to do, jump out of an airplane or something. But you know, friends, for a child of God, really the first thing on our bucket list, maybe the only thing on our bucket list, what we know we have to experience before we kick the bucket, before we die, child of God, that better be to see God in all of his fullness. Friends, if you die without that, you have lost big time. That ought to be our bucket list, is to know Jesus this way. And so, this is his worship. His walk with God is God-centered, and it leads to a life that literally explodes with worship. But there's something else we see in Simeon's life, the witness of a God-centered person, the witness of a God-centered person. You see, when we walk the way Simeon walked, two outstanding things will result. First of all, our worship, and then our witness. And Simeon witnesses to Mary and Joseph and everyone who would hear him. Verse 34. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against. And so Simeon understood the mission of Jesus, that there would be many who rejected Christ, and because of that they would fall. And there would be others who received Christ and rise to new life. Simeon understood that in order for Jesus to be the consolation of Israel, in order for Jesus to be a light of revelation for the Gentiles, in order for Jesus to be the glory of his people Israel, Jesus would have to suffer. And that's what it means when it says there, in verse 34, that he will be a sign that will be spoken against. He's referring there, it is a prophecy of the opposition that Jesus would receive from his own people. That he would be hated, that he would be ridiculed and despised and spoken against and beaten and crucified, so that he could become the consolation of Israel and a light of hope to the Gentiles. And so he turns to Mary and he says, Mary, this is going to affect you. You're his mother. The thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Simeon understood and knew that this would break Mary's heart when she saw how her son would be treated by sinners. And so we sing that song, Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Mary would say, yes, I know. I knew that my son would suffer and die for our sins. Perhaps you've been following the events in the Middle East with the rise of ISIS, or the Islamic State. And they're making an effort to try to take over Iraq and parts of Syria. And in doing that, they are persecuting, severely persecuting Iraqi Christians. In fact, there's an Anglican pastor by the name of Andrew White who's come to be known as the Vicar of Baghdad. Maybe you've heard about him just because of his ministry and connection with the Iraqi Christians. And he reported recently that four Iraqi Christian children, all under the age of 15, had been beheaded because they refused to convert to Islam. When they were told to do so, when they were told to say the words of the Islamic words of conversion, they chose not to betray or to deny Jesus. In fact, the Vicar of Baghdad said that they said, "We love Jesus and we will always follow him." And they paid the ultimate price for standing up for Jesus. Now, could I just ask you, what is it that inspires this kind of devotion to Jesus? How might we have a kind of love for Jesus that will allow us to stare our executioner in the face and say, "Kill me if you will, I will never deny Jesus. I love Jesus more than I love my own life." And so, friends, we will never stand up, we will never speak up, we will never suffer for a Jesus who isn't everything to us. Is he? Is he everything to you? Is he your bucket list?